a section of the scripture here from the Psalms. I love those Psalms. This would be the Old Testament song book, or the song book of Israel. Actually, there's five books of Psalms, and they've been compiled into what we call a book of the Psalms, a collection of 150 Psalms. And this is going to be from number 84 of the Psalms. I just often muse in my mind, how did this sound when it was being sang in the courts of the temple? And you just have to meditate on that. A lot of people sing them today the way we sing things, but you just wonder, how did that sound back in those days with all the musicians and the different instrumentation that they had? But today, just put that in the back of your mind and let God give you the music.
All right.
That goes with it. Psalms 84 and 8, verses 8 through 12. Let's read. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. We have read from the Psalter, the Psalm number 84. Now read with me the New Testament from the letter of James. And this will be the NASB, New American Standard Translation, starting at James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? Then he is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they that pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to grab a topic to wrap our thoughts around today. And that will be privileges of proper prayers. Amen. Privileges of proper prayers.
Yes.
Amen. The prayer life of a person will dictate many things in their life. Mm-hmm. And think of it this way. I had to put the word privileges in there, because there's a lot of different ways to pray. And prayer is simply communicating with God.
That's it. Amen.
Some of it can be done silently, and we don't include that as a type of prayer. But you can pray openly into a room. You can pray silently.
Yes.
There's such a thing as meditative prayer, where you know there's a thing that you want God to do for you, and you keep it in your mind all day. Sometimes we associate that type of prayer also with fasting sometimes. Now keep in mind, the Lord doesn't command you to fast, but he says when you fast, to do these things. It's not a commanded thing to do, but sometimes you may just choose. I remember early on in my Christian walk, I had made up in my mind that I wanted to fast every Saturday. And the main purpose of it was not that I thought it added anything to my salvation.
All right.
But it was just that every time a hunger pain hit me, which they did, that I'm going to say my prayer. I'm going to pray in my mind and ask God for a special thing. I had a lot of things I wanted God to do for me when I first got saved. When I first learned that he loves me just like I am, and now I can actually communicate with you and talk to you, you will hear me and you promise to answer my prayer. You didn't. That doesn't mean God's going to do everything you ask, but it does mean he's going to supply whatever you need.
Yes.
See, because sometimes you ask for something and you don't know what you need.
Right.
But when you tell God what you think you need, God will sometimes send you what you really need.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm happy that some of the things I asked him for, he didn't send it.
Right.
Because if he had sent it, I'd probably be a mess. But I was asking God for some stuff. Boy, if I had got that, you know, oh man, then I looked and saw some other folk who did get what I asked for. And then the next thing you know, they were out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So sometimes God knows what you need. I'm going to say all the time he knows what you need. But sometimes he knows that you don't need what you think you need. But it's okay to tell him anyway. See, so when you want to meditate on something, and that was just something I chose to do. There are no rules or regulations about what to do about that. But Jesus just simply said, when you fast, he said, do it in secret.
Yes.
In other words, don't do it as an outward show. I want everybody to know, so I'm going to come in here looking all pitiful, and so everybody knows what they ask. What's wrong with you, Brother Fisher? I'm fasting today. Well, he said, if you do that, then that's your reward. You got what you want.
That's right.
You want people to see you and think you holy. So if you do that, he said, don't expect no more reward from me because you got what you want.
Right.
Coming here looking pitiful, your hair ain't been combed, clothes hanging all off of you. Double, well, what's wrong with you, Brother Fisher? Oh, I'm fasting. Okay, well, you got your reward, Jesus said. He said, but what you do is you anoint your head, wash your face, look like you normally do every day, or go into your secret closet. So don't nobody know you in there but me. And cry out to the Lord. He said, then I'll reward you openly. See, and I'm not trying to teach you necessarily about fasting, but I want to talk with you about the privileges of proper prayer. Now, Jesus said there's some people who don't pray right. They come in with a bunch of repetition and they think they're, by their many words, that God is going to respond to what they're saying. He said, that's not it. He said, when you pray, pray secretly.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean we should never pray together in the church. That's something the church always does. But we're talking about in your personal prayer life now. And I think this is an area where we can all advance a great deal if we realize that it is a privilege. The great thing to me is that it's the type of privilege where if you really understand your Bible right, you know God already knows everything you're thinking. Did you know that? That's scary to me sometimes. God knows everything I'm thinking. Good, bad, and ugly. Holy and unholy. He knows it. And that's what really, sometimes it's like, boy, you know what? I can't keep anything from you. And I shouldn't be thinking this, and I know you know I'm thinking it. See? And it can be a scary thing. But the good news is, even though God knows every little thing you think you have never had any secret from him at any time, he loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. His love is not motivated by your good deeds or your bad deeds. It's not held back by you doing bad, and it's not made anymore by you doing anything good. And the reason I say that, and you have to understand, is one of the other great theological doctrines is the doctrine of the immutability of God. Not only is he omniscient, that's one of the doctrines, we say he knows everything, and he can't learn anything because he knows everything already. See, so you can't keep anything from him. He's all knowing. He has all power. That's omnipotence, we call it.
That's right.
He's omnipresent. You can't go anywhere to get away from him. You can't go somewhere and I don't know you're there. Good, bad, or ugly, I'm there with you. See, and he still loves you. The fact that God is love, that's what John said.
Yes.
That's part of his immutable, one of the, let's call it a characteristic of his person. That he loves you at all times. That means he always did.
Always.
You know what else it means? He always will.
Always.
So if you don't have a relationship with God, guess whose fault it is?
Yours.
It's yours. Because he loves you just like you are, even though he knows everything about us.
Amen.
So that's why I say it's a privilege to pray. Somebody would immediately say, well, why should I pray if he already knows everything? And that's a fleshly fallen thought. The reason you should pray is that God said, pray all the time. Luke 18:1 says, man ought to always pray.
Always.
And not faint. Why? Because I have the privilege to talk to the supreme being.
Yes.
I have the privilege. He wants to hear from you. He doesn't want you to act like he doesn't exist.
Right.
See, suppose it was your mom, and you just say, okay, I'm not saying nothing to her. She would think something's wrong with you. What's wrong with you? You ain't said nothing to me. Mm-hmm. Or your brother.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You ain't talking to me. Well, what's up with that? Mm-hmm. Or somebody is supposed to be your significant other or your friend.
Yes.
You ain't saying nothing to me. I'm getting a cold shoulder. Right? Because there's no relationship here. So God is like that. He loves you. He loves you more than you can comprehend. When you come and hear messages like this, you begin to learn more about how he feels about you. And so it should help you realize it is a privilege that I can call on the Most High Supreme Being at any time, day or night. And he has never closed a deaf ear to me.
He hears me all the time. He hears you all the time.
See, you say, well, you a preacher? Yes, he listens to you. No, has nothing to do with that. You know, he will listen to you, the smallest child, or the oldest adult that we have in the room. Doesn't make any difference. He's giving you the privilege.
Yes.
That's why the songwriter said, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. So we need to, first of all, thank him that we have the privilege of prayer.
Amen.
Now we talk about the privilege of proper prayers. That Jesus told us there's some kind of prayers that are not proper. They think that, oh, let me go blast the trumpet so everybody knows I'm about to pray. Let's get together and go on the corner. When I blast the trumpet, we're going to pray so people can see that you're praying.
Yes.
That's improper. God says, you're doing that because you want people to see you. That's your reward. You got your reward. They see you. They know you're praying. But he said, if you go into your secret closet, it doesn't necessarily have to be a particular closet. It can be. That's okay. Like in prayer room, if you got a room, this is my prayer room.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in here a certain time of day and pour out my soul before the Lord. That's good. That's okay. As long as it's being done in secret. And God knows you're doing it not to be seen, not to impress people. I'm doing this because I want to have fellowship with you.
Amen.
You know what? My vehicle that I'm in is a sanctuary. When I'm up in there, I'm praising the Lord. And I don't care if you think I look like, what is that man over there doing? I'm not doing this for you. I got on the praise music. I'm lifting up his name. I'm thanking him for safe travel. I'm having me a little church on the way to church. You see? So it can be anywhere. You know, long as it's done in the right attitude and you know that I'm expressing this to the Lord and this is for him. I'm speaking to him. It's a privilege he gave me. He said, ask. And it shall be given you. Think about the letter A, ask. Yeah. Then he said, seek and you shall find. That's the letter S.
Yeah.
Then he said, knock and it shall be open. A-S-K.
Yeah. Right.
Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it'll be open. That's A-S-K. Ask God.
Yeah.
So prayer is about asking God. If you take those letters as an acronym. So he says here, notice, let's get into one of these prayers. This is the psalmist who writes, and he says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Now notice he refers to him as the God of Jacob. When this was written, this was centuries after Jacob had long been gone from the earth. But why does he write that? Because God is a God of his promises.
Yeah. That's right.
He keeps his promise.
Always.
You don't ever have to worry about God not keeping his promise.
Never.
And so he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was in Jacob that he multiplied the chosen people, or the covenant people, into the 12 tribes of Israel. And he was called Jacob. And when he wrestled with God, you read in Genesis 28, that God touched him in the socket of his hip. We would say dislocated his hip. And he said he wrestled with God all night long. And he prevailed because he said, I'm not going to let you go until you're blessed. He was looking for a blessing. But when he got let go, his hip was dislocated. And God says, I'm going to call you Israel from now on.
Yeah.
See, and because he wrestled with God and prevailed, he held on to the morning light. And so basically the God of Jacob is saying that I acknowledge that your word is true.
That's right. Amen.
That you promised Abraham, you promised Isaac, you promised Jacob that you would bless their seed.
Yes.
And basically he will bless you and me. And so we have the privilege of proper prayer. And when we exercise that privilege like the psalmist does here, he says, behold, O O God, our shield. Look at that.
Yes.
You are my shield. What does that mean? That means you protect me from stuff coming at me. There's stuff coming everywhere all the time. If you live in a world with people who don't acknowledge God or think something else is God, you got some stuff coming at you from everywhere. Not only that, but when you start to confess the Lord to be your Savior, you know what? The devil is now mad at you. I'm mad at you now. I got fiery darts. I'm going to send some stuff, see, can you handle this? See? So you need God to be a shield to block off all the kind of hogwash that you might not be able to handle. You know what? Sometimes it might hit you. God might let some of it hit you. But he said, don't worry about it if it hits you, because I'm here with you. I'll be with you always. And think about Job, somebody like Job. Now, we'll see him in a minute. Job got hit with stuff from every side because God asked the devil, have you considered my servant Job?
Yes.
The devil said, yeah, I considered him, but you protect him, you bless him, you cover him all around on every side. You keep giving him all that stuff. That's the only reason he care about you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take that stuff away, let me smite all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll cuss you to your face. That's what the devil said.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. God said, okay, that's what you think. You think he serves me because I bless him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me show you. You go ahead, touch any of that stuff you want to. See, and you'll see that Job, he'll come through like gold tried by fire. See, so he allowed that stuff to come into Job's life.
Mm-hmm.
Job got to like, boy, this is not normal. You know, stuff ain't right here, right now. His wife got to the place eventually where she said, just cuss God and die. And now she's working with the enemy against you.
Yeah.
Job says, foolish woman, shall we receive blessings from the Lord and not adversity?
Yes.
He says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He continued to bless God even though he was going through the valley.
Yes.
See, of the shadow of death.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to bless you anyway.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to bless your name anyway.
Follow.
Because you blessed me and you gave me all that. If you want to take it, go ahead.
Yes.
Belong to you anyway. The earth is the Lord's.
That's right.
And the fullness thereof. And you gave it to me then, you can give it to me again, you may have been thinking.
Right.
Faith holds on and understands that God is going to make sure I have what I need.
Oh, yes.
He's never going to leave me nor forsake me.
Yeah.
Might look like it to somebody. But faith says he has never done it before. He's kept me all this time. David said, I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. See, so it don't make no difference. I got a track record with me. I've seen him blessing people all along the way. See, and I was a kid, now I'm old, and I still see his hand blessing people in my life. See, so he hung on to that no matter what happened. When Saul was chasing him, he was holding on to the fact, the Lord anointed me, and I'm going to be on the throne when I'm supposed to be there. I'm not going to mess with you. I'm going to touch not the Lord's anointed, nor do his prophets any harm, but I'm going to wait till my season. And when my season comes, I'm going to be in the fullness of it. You have to learn to wait for your season. You know what? He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. That was written by from Paul in the prison. He had lost faith. He was being locked down because he preached the gospel. But he said, in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication means supply what I need, Lord.
Yes.
See, give me what I need to do what you want me to do.
Bible.
Give me what I need to stand for you in a crooked world.
Mm-hmm.
See, supply my needs, Lord.
Yes.
And Paul told the Philippians, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So we have the privilege of proper prayer. We want to make sure the orientation of our prayer is right.
Yeah.
I'm calling to you, Lord, because I know you hear me. You're the Most High. You know all the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life. See, and I'm going to tell you about this good right now, Lord. I thank you for that. That's one of the five types of prayers, thanksgiving. Let's call the first one adoration. I just praise you for being God.
Hallelujah.
All by yourself. I lift up your name.
Yeah.
I magnify you because you are God. And you have
have control of everything going on. Can't nobody do nothing unless you allow it. So I give you praise. And then I give you thanks for what you already have done. I thank you right now, Lord, for what you already did. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And then also I want to also confess my sin. That's one of the types of prayer. Lord, I'm having an issue right here, and you know it. Help me with this here, and put that thing on the altar. Whatever it is, bring it to the altar. Don't just let it keep on going. You know, and even if you're having trouble dealing with it, keep it on the altar. Keep it on there until God fixes it. See, that could be anything, any kind of a vice you might be dealing with in your life. Keep it on the altar. Understand, God knows what it is already. Maybe he didn't deal with it because you put it on the altar and then you took it back. You know, keep it on the altar. Don't let it go until it's dead. Just like if you put a sacrifice on the altar, it ain't really a sacrifice till I kill it.
That's right.
But keep it on the altar.
Amen.
That's why I love this table. When I told you that, and I have never been to the table of the Lord and didn't have something I need to put on the altar.
That's right.
And I realized Jesus covers me. God has fixed it so he don't even have to see the ugly thing in my life.
Amen.
I'm just going to keep it on the altar until it gets fixed.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray on it to God privately until it's fixed. To get some determination about it.
Yeah.
Like when you had a certain bicycle or something you wanted when you was a kid, you just kept on until you eventually mom and dad broke down and they got me that thing. I've been wanting this. I wanted it 2 Christmases ago, but I'm just now getting it now. But you kept it in their memory. Maybe they didn't have the money back then, or some reason they couldn't get it, or something else one of your brothers or sisters needed was more important. Or God, moms and dads have to make decisions sometimes about what they can do and when they can do it. But they heard what you want.
Yeah.
So similarly, God knows what you want.
Yeah.
He knows what you need.
Yeah.
And he knows when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he didn't give it to you yet, just say, thank you, Lord, I don't have it yet. But I know it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Because
you are a covenant-keeping God.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
you promised Jacob, like he said here.
Yeah.
He said, behold our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. This psalmist knew you have someone else, the anointed one, the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek that you promised all the way back in your word. He's coming. Keep looking on his face, Lord, because I'm covered by his anointing.
Oh, yes.
It's not that I come on my own, but I come under the blood of Jesus.
My Lord.
I come under the blood, Lord. I can't make it without Jesus. You don't want me to try to make it without Jesus. You said, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. See, so I'm depending on Jesus. You know what? I know for sure, right well, I can't stand before the Most High without the blood of Jesus.
No way.
You know what? No one can. Not just me.
That's right.
But if you don't have Christ covering you, you will have a bad situation coming up in front of you. Because God made it available, and he gets us stirred up about it, so we tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
He's entrusted us to go let everybody know, no matter what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
God knows about it. He loves you anyway. He gave his son to die for you to cover your sin.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to believe him. Get on his program.
Yeah.
You say, well, how can I do that? Well, just have faith.
That's it.
Just believe God will make me strong enough to trust his son. And his son will make me where I'm covered in the presence of God. I know if my sins are forgiven, not because of anything I do, but because of what he did. He is the anointed one.
Yes.
For he says, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. You know what? The Bible says this too. It says that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years in his sight. And this psalmist says, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Now he's talking about 1,000 of anything. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. See, the most humble position you can have in God's church is a great position. You've been given great authority. You belong to the greatest organization on earth. I don't know what other folks are telling you, but I'm telling you, God said his church will not fall and will not fail. I built it upon a rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, so if you're in the church, you are founded on the rock. And the gates of hell have no authority over you. See, and so you ought to know, to me, I boast in the Lord. My soul shall have her boast in the Lord.
the psalmist said. So I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Let me sweep the floor in here for you, Jesus. Or mop the floor, or wash the walls, whatever I need to do. I'll take the most humble position in here. Any position in the house of the Lord is a good position.
Right.
It's better than dwelling in the tents of the wicked. Now you notice he calls those tents.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because they're temporary. You pitch a tent and you take it down. And it gets to moving around. See, it has no permanent place, no foundation.
Right.
The tents of the wicked are not going to last forever.
Yes.
So he says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He will give you the ability to walk uprightly, and he'll give you the knowledge of what it means to walk uprightly. You know where these things happen? In prayer. If you lack wisdom, James said, we'll get to him in a minute. He said, let him ask of God. If any man lacks wisdom, James 1:5. He gives liberally, God does, to all. That means anybody, whosoever. And he doesn't, the word term upbraid is not, King James uses, means I don't find fault with you. Yeah, Fisher, I know you're defective. I know you got issues.
Yeah.
I know you ain't 100% right.
Yeah.
In fact, you might not even be 10% right. But I know that. That's why I sent my son to the cross for you.
Amen.
And he's going to help you get closer to being right.
Yes.
If you trust in him, I declare you right already.
Yes.
I declare you just like him. I only see him. I don't see you.
Right.
You know, in that sense, I overlook all of your faults.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what your needs are. So I'm not going to hold anything against you. And I've given you the very throne room of God. My doors are open.
Right.
The prayer room. Come in boldly before the throne of grace. And find mercy and grace to help in the time of need.
Yes.
So you know what? I need to be in there. It's such a privilege. Well, I don't know why we don't live in there.
Mm.
It's such a privilege. Why don't we just live in there?
Mm.
We don't, because we pop in and out. That's how we are. But God knows it.
Yeah.
He said, even though you just came for 5 minutes, maybe tomorrow you'll come and spend 20 minutes with me.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll come and spend 30 the next day.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you just feel bad today and you might not come in my presence. People do that. We do that. We get flaky sometimes. Do stuff, then we judge ourselves. See? But God says, my door is open all the time.
All the time.
Love you all the time. I'm not fluctuating and changing like you or the world or the situations you're dealing with. I'm a very present help in the time of need. I'm right there when you need me. See? He's like a sun and a shield.
Yes.
In other words, I can give you what you need, light your way, and I can shield you from what you don't need. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold. See, so he's put his cards on the table, so to speak, face up, so you know what's in his hand. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now, this is why I stayed with KJV on this one.
Yes.
Because that trusted means you continue to trust God.
Right.
From the moment you began into eternity, I trust God.
Yes.
I'm going to keep trusting him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pray he makes my strength. We always hear that saying we say in the church, I pray my strength in the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and I just want to continue to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Yeah.
So the one and only true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ that specified that man ought to always pray and not faint. You can read that in Luke 18:1, which indicates that God is always listening.
Yes.
And that we are always needing him to be intertwined within all of our affairs, day in and out.
Always.
We always need him.
Always.
You know, sometimes we have a switch, the God switch, we're going to cut it on and off. God says, no, you need me all the time. My door is open all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I love you all the time. I'm not changing. I'm not like all the situations in your life. I'm solid. You can trust me. And so God has opened the door and let us know. God has granted us the privilege to be able to endure whatever things that this world can dish out.
Yes.
To us, as long as we remain connected to the memories of his promises.
Mm-hmm.
See, his promises are solid. They're firm. They're not going to change.
No.
They cannot be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever God said, that's it, baby.
Right.
Modern term. Which can never fail and have been stated for our power source when times of difficulty rise up against us, as they always have. even of the ones that have been given the immutable gift of his righteousness. Do you know if God has declared you righteous, nobody can change it.
Nobody.
And what the devil wants you to think, well, you know, you were saved, but now you did that there, and that's gone. That's your lie, devil.
That's all it is.
God said, if I saved you, you're saved. Period. Who are you going to believe? Mm-hmm. But now keep in mind, we do have some flakiness in our being.
Oh, yeah.
Eve had heard it from her husband. The devil said, hey, you know what? This tree here, God holding out on you on this one, baby.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thousand other trees. Who knows how many?
Mm-hmm.
With everything in there, he took you to the very one. God said, leave this one alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go talk about that one he said, leave alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the devil wants to take you, to the one thing that God said, leave that alone.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about this one. She should have said, well, how about all of these other ones over here?
Mm-hmm.
It's all manner of trees up in
yes.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Why we got to go to that one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, this one here, what he don't want you to know, he's holding out on you. Mm-hmm. And when you deal with this one, you're going to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
She should have said, you know what, when he made us, he was like him. We were created in the image of God.
Right.
In the image of God created he him.
Right.
Male and female created he them. Devil, that's a lie. Because I'm already in his image. That's a lie, you devil, you. Telling me I'm going to be like him. I'm like him now. You the one who got a problem.
Yeah. Come on, say it.
You the one who needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
You the one that's twisted. Better get it right. Don't get it twisted, we like to say.
Yeah.
But let's look at James and we can wrap up our thoughts. He gets us into this whole mindset of privileges of proper prayers.
Mm-hmm.
James says, is anyone among you suffering?
Mm-hmm.
Suffering is part of being saved.
Yeah.
We just heard that at the conference.
Yeah.
Paul told Timothy that whoever wants to live righteous in this world shall suffer persecution. We don't hear that much in the church. We don't want to talk about what it is. You trust God, you're going to suffer some persecution. It's true. I better tell you so when it happens, you know the solution. God hasn't abandoned you.
No.
He said there's going to be some trouble when you take a stand for me. His people have always shown that from the beginning of the word all the way through, that they suffer different things for his sake. It says here, then he must pray.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is when the suffering comes, don't go into a pity party. Don't go deeper into sin. Don't go away from God. Run to the Lord.
Right.
He must pray.
Yes.
Is anyone cheerful? Sing to the Lord.
Right.
Give him praise.
Yes.
See, when you get cheerful, get in a praise mode and give him praise. Is anyone among you sick?
Right.
Then he must call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We anoint you mostly every time we get together to make sure you know we got you covered in prayer. We want the anointing of God to go with you when you go out, to keep you and bless you along your way. James says this, chapter 5, verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he had committed any sins, they will be forgiven him.
Right.
You know what? We have people telling us, well, you know, once you sin, you done backslid. What? And I'm not advocating that you sin. Neither is the scripture. But the fact is, there may be a sin issue that you're dealing with.
Right.
In your life. And he says that if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because the blood of Jesus that forgave you to make you saved is there also to cleanse you along the way.
That's right.
And when you confess it, that's why he says the next verse.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, this is one of our types of prayer. We've already talked about adoration. We've talked about supplication.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about confession, we would say.
Mm-hmm.
And now this one here, of course, this is confession. There's also intercession.
Yeah.
That's when I pray for someone else.
Yeah.
If I know I have another friend, brother, sister, or even a lost person that's not saved, I'm going to intercede. I'm going to ask God to come into their life.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm nearly certain that's how I ended up refreshing my walk with God and getting saved again.
Because
I know my grandparents prayed for me.
Oh, yeah.
And then they passed away when I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started to grow up and became an adolescent, got a little crazy in there, got disconnected from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my aunts were probably saying, boy, he looked like he's going off now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they prayed for me.
Yeah.
See, people in your family see where you are
and they offer prayer to God for you.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes it's out of my hands. I can't really do anything about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not helpless.
Yeah.
Why? Because I can go in the throne room of the Most High God.
Yeah.
And I can call out your name before God.
Yeah.
I can say, God, help them.
Yeah.
And God will hear that prayer. He'll ask, that's a selfless prayer.
Yeah.
Jesus interceded on the cross. Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
For they know not what they do. They don't know. They're ignorant of what they're doing.
Yeah.
They think they're doing a good thing crucifying me.
Mm-hmm.
See, and really it is. But the sad thing is they think they're hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know they're fulfilling what you said already. Forgive them for their ignorance.
Because
they don't even know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, so intercession is a very important thing. They always remember that. When you see a brother or a sister having a struggle or a problem, or they confide in you with a situation in their life, lift it up to God. Pray with them. Pray for them. See, don't gossip. Sometimes we go, you know, so and so told me. Don't do that. Tell it to God. He's the one who can do something about it. He can fix it. And then when the breakthrough comes and they come back and tell you, guess what happened? You can say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can give some thanksgiving to God. Because I know you did that, Lord. Nobody else can do it. See what I'm saying? So regardless of the works of the world or the flesh of the devil, God has promised and preserved. He's promised perseverance and victory to his people, whom he has admonished to be realistic in their evaluation of themselves and others, to always keep his words in our thoughts, which he has promised, and that they shall never come back in void. The word of God cannot come back void, but it will accomplish the very thing that he desires. And I always tell people this. People say, well, you know, I don't know what to pray. Pray his word, whatever you see in his word. Because that word is, the word is so powerful, it cannot fail.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Bible says the scriptures cannot be broken.
That's right.
See, whatever God says, you can take it to the bank.
Yeah.
That's how we would say it today.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I don't care what they say on CNN.
That's right.
I don't care what Donald Trump says.
That's right.
It don't make no difference what Putin or any of the folks are doing.
That's right.
You know, it don't make no difference. You ain't got no authority. God's word is going to come to pass. And I'm going to boldly confess his word.
Yes.
His word is going to be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. No matter what you do. Because you don't have a world or any heaven or hell to put anybody in. You know what? If you believe stacking up a bunch of junk is going to help you, well, go ahead, stack it on up. You know, you'll see when you go in the box, it's going to still be there. Yeah, you heard of Jack in the Box, but never stack in the box. That doesn't exist. You see? So we're going to trust God. We invite you to trust God in everything. That's what it means to be saved, is you believe what God has said. He has one message to the world that's not even complicated. It's no matter what you are doing, who you are, what you have done, I love you just like you are.
Yes.
And I love you too much to leave you like that. So when you come to me, I'm going to fix you. But I accept you right now. You don't have to change anything. You know why you don't? Because you haven't been able to do it anyway. You haven't been able to change it. But I am able.
Model.
And I'm willing. And I love you just like you are. And if you come to me, try me and you'll see how much I love you. Now I'll make a way for you that you didn't do for yourself.
Oh, yes,
all you have
will.
To do is believe.
Yes, sir.
You believe him, he says, if you whosoever, now he makes it like that clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church is not a black church. I hear people talk about the black church or a white church, or this is a Presbyterian. Well, come on now. God has one church on this planet. And it's a universal church.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's for every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people.
Yes.
You know, it's not a for this particular group, that particular group. We tend to congregate in like ethnicities for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The church has been with Chinese folk.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kind of folk in the church.
Yes, it is.
It's whoever believes the gospel that God gave his son for you. And the gospel knows no bounds. He told them to go and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whoever they are. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Know what that means? Teach them the Bible.
Yes.
That's all it means. Teach them the Bible, Genesis to Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not down there doing something special or different than any other church. If you're the real church, you teach people the Bible.
Amen.
Help them understand what God said.
Yes.
And let them know I love them exactly like they are.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus already died for you whether you believe him or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
He got up out the grave for you whether you believe him or you don't.
Yes.
He loves you exactly like you are whether you believe him or you don't.
Right.
He just said, if you are willing to confess me before men, then I'm also going to be willing to confess you before my Father. See, and when I confess you, you know what? God's going to see you as being righteous just
yes.
like he sees me.
Yes.
When I come stand up there, and you come before him, and you will see him. Everyone will see him.
Oh, yes.
The Bible says every eye will see him.
Every eye.
And the whole earth shall wail because of him. That's what it said. And then John said, even so, come Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
See? And he's coming. There will be a day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, we will.
So you better know for sure that you're not ashamed of him now.
That's right.
Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth it, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. See? For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See? So faith, that just means faith is not a hard thing to understand. It means, you know what, I'm trusting you, Jesus.
Yes.
That's what it means. It's like, if this was Jesus, I'm leaning on you with all my weight.
Yes.
If you move, I'm going to fall.
That's right.
I trust you. I lean on you. I depend on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I stand before God, God has accepted you, so he said,
yes.
if you accept him, I will accept you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My Lord.
That's a done deal. God is not flaky. Now, we so used to flaky people, we don't believe anybody will just keep
yep.
your promise flat out like you said. But so many people let us down.
Mm-hmm.
God will keep his promise.
Yes, he will.
He will.
Oh,
he will not
yes,
fail.
He will.
You know what? Because I had a young man ask me, I'm going to get on out of here. I know y'all say, oh, Pastor, you're overtime. But this is what I want you to know. I had a young man who I spoke with and I told him about Christ. He was trying to kind of confused about, well, you know, my friends at school told me about Islam. I said, oh, they did. I said, did they tell you that Muhammad wrote the book called the Quran from 16 to 632 AD, which was over 500 years after the scriptures were finished? Did they tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, they didn't tell me. I had to look that up. Go look it up.
500 years
It was 500 years or more after the church had been founded and established,
mm-hmm.
after Jesus got out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't even in existence then. Did you know that? Did they tell you that? No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I said, in fact, get the Quran, open it, and look in there, and it'll tell you the story about Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know. I looked in there myself.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad wrote from 16 to 632, and his disciples compiled the writings that he did, and then the book of the Quran was written. I said, now I'll tell you what else while you're checking, check this.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your calendar. I said, what does that 2018 mean? He said, oh, I don't know. I said, that means it's 2018 years since Jesus Christ was born.
Mm-hmm.
And that calendar has
yes.
been used around the globe by everybody, whether they say they believe him or they don't.
Yes.
You
yes.
see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, check that. That means your birth certificate was based on his birth certificate.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I don't know who else. If Confucius is powerful, why you didn't get yourself in the middle of that?
My Lord.
And the book.
Mm-hmm.
Christian scriptures.
Yeah, well, see, the only truth that's in there was plagiarized from the Bible.
That's
what Brother Tate is saying.
Right.
See, they went and took a spattering and a sampling of what was in the Bible and slapped it in there and added some more stuff they wanted with it. Canceled Jesus, said Allah has no son. He does not beget, neither is he begetting, getting. There is none like him. That's Surah 112.
He says he's a holy prophet.
Well, I'm saying that's what they say. But the fact is, this book was finished before you were ever born. You weren't even a gleam in your daddy's eye. And God's word had been manifested and completed.
Already complete.
So how can I now believe you, sir?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that is true in your book, you stole it out of the Bible.
Amen.
And you can't believe both. They both can't be true. Either Allah, as you say, who is God, has a son, or he doesn't. You say he doesn't. The Bible says, without the son, you shall not see the Father.
That's right.
So they can't be both true. You can't just say, well, these are both equally true. No, sir. No, ma'am. Absolutely not. Now, I'm not that confused. I might be nutty, but I'm not that confused. I know better than that. Either God has a son or he doesn't. The Bible said it in the Old Testament to the Jews. We looked at it in Psalm number 1 and 2. Kiss the son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's Old Testament. So if you're a Jew, you better kiss the son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. It says it in your book. You know, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. Say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. He who sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He said, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion.
Yes.
And that's the only time the Bible says that God's going to laugh. Because when you think you're going to come in here with some hogwash that you made and you're going to be okay. No. I gave my son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here today, let me pray with you right now. Eternal God, we praise you, we bless you, we have heard the gospel, the good news. The one message you have for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. You said whosoever, that means any of us in here, or anyone who can hear my voice, if we believe in him, you said we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. You proved it when you raised him out of the grave after you had written that in your word. He went through it all.
Yes.
Hung and bled and died on the cross, yes, just as you had said.
My Lord.
They gambled for his clothes in the crowd. But you allow him to finish the work of finishing up everything you had predicted about his first coming.
Yes.
And then he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.
Yes.
And he gave up the ghost, that perfect, unspotted, unblemished soul,
yes,
that you had given him, Lord. And he did it for me. Everyone in the room should be saying in your heart, he did it for me. I believe him. I trust him. I want him to save me. Cover me, oh God. You gave your son. You paid the price so that I can know for sure that I have been forgiven. And you said whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And so, Father, we stand on that gospel that you have given, and we thank you for saving our souls. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And the church said together,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you pray that prayer, we hope that God has, we know that God has given you what he promised. Amen. If you would like to be a member of St. Timothy MD Church, we give you that opportunity at this time before we conclude our service. Amen. We are here to receive you and to disciple you or to train you in the word of righteousness. Amen. That's what we do. We specialize in that. We do that, and we want you to know we have done as God commands. We see that there are none, yet there is room. So we hope you did get a good word from the message today. Amen.